College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Gonzaga head coach Mark Few. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. Make sure to subscribe, like, and rate the show, and please feel free to leave us comments. And I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters insurance, plus add an easy-to-use mobile app available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. And now I've got you set for all your Geico needs. It was one of the wildest weekends in college basketball that I had ever seen in nearly 15 years on this beat. And Saturday, for the first time ever, the top six teams in the AP Top 25 all lost on the same day. Remember, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball. And to me, Saturday was the symbol of what we should expect during the NCAA tournament. We can prognosticate. We can do everything we need to do in terms of trying to forecast who's going to make a deep run, who is going to match up well with this team, who is going to match up well with that team. The bottom line at the end of the day is this. A year ago, it was very, very clear that we had two elite teams, teams that were on an all-time level. Gonzaga and Baylor, they met in the national championship game. Baylor beat Gonzaga. But this year, we have a scenario where I think we could see a scenario play out where none of the top eight seeds made a Final Four. I think we could see a scenario where we have craziness and chaos and upsets on top of upsets from the start of the NCAA tournament to the end of the NCAA tournament. And one of the culprits, one of the teams that fell on Saturday was Gonzaga. The Bulldogs lost to St. Mary's in Moraga. Up until Saturday's game against St. Mary's, Gonzaga had won five straight games against the Gaels in Moraga by double figures. And this season, Gonzaga had not played a single-digit game since it lost to Alabama in December in Seattle. How do the Zags move on heading into the West Coast Conference Tournament later this week in Las Vegas? We'll find out when we check in with Mark Few, the head coach of Gonzaga, right here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein, coming up next. And before we chat with Gonzaga's Mark Few, I want to tell you about Harry's. This March, stop the madness. Get rid of your old expensive shaving routine and bet on the underdog, a quality team that exceeds your expectations, like Harry's. Harry's is an up-and-coming company that found a better game plan, one that doesn't make you choose between a fair price and a close, comfortable shave, because you get both. Try it yourself. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 when you go to harrys.com/hoops. I can vouch for these blades. They really do stay sharp longer. I shave daily, and my eighth shave is as close as my first, thanks to Harry's blades. It's a better shaving experience, and you save money over time. And Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set. You get a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/hoops to try Harry's today. It is February 28th. We are getting ready to start off the greatest month of the year. Gonzaga is 24-3, entering the West Coast Conference Tournament later this week in Las Vegas. The head coach of Gonzaga is Mark Few. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Mark, as the calendar shifts from February to March, I got to ask, what does March mean for Mark Few?
Oh, hey, it just means, it's time for us to start rounding into, the best form of ourselves all year, and all the stuff we've been preparing for all the way back in July. You're hoping is coming into fruition, and you pray for great health. And again, just trying to get your guys, you're ready for anything and everything, but also trying to prepare them to be as confident, and as sure of themselves as they have at any other time during the year.
And, it wasn't always a regular occurrence that Gonzaga was going to be a factor in the NCAA tournament, but 23 years ago, a little over two decades ago, the Zags came to the forefront really for the first time in 1999, getting to the Elite Eight in Phoenix and coming up just short against the UConn team that won a national championship. You were an assistant, for that team. What are the biggest things you remember from that run?
Oh, the biggest thing, John, was just it was just all new, and just every day it was just exciting, and it was almost surreal. With just kind of every aspect now that's became sadly kind of expected and commonplace. But I just, just being it, having your name announced on Selection Sunday and the joy of our families being able to go to, an NCAA tournament game and then how, gosh, we got sent to Seattle, which is unheard of. I think we were right. 10 seed or something, and the poor 7 seed with Minnesota, and then they had guys eligible and unable, and it was just crazy. It was crazy, and then our guys just jumped it all over it and played great basketball, during that stretch. Everything from the media attention to the, to see our fans really jump on board at that point, we had kind of had some nice crowds here at Gonzaga, but all of a sudden they showed up in Seattle and they showed up a little bit down in Phoenix, and it's pretty cool.
Now, you kind of touched on it just then, is that there's an expectation when you have success that every year you're supposed to replicate it over and over again, and that never happens in life. But, one of the things that probably isn't as pronounced regarding your run at Gonzaga is you've made the NCAA tournament every single year that you've been a head coach. How much pride do you take in that, in addition to obviously everything you've done, especially in the last 5 years, getting the two Final Fours and two title games?
I personally, and I try to instill in our players and people closest to the program, that is the aspect that I take the most pride in. That, mm-hmm. Okay, it is, this because you're as in on this stuff as anybody in college basketball, how hard it is to get to the NCAA tournament, and then let alone, I always say the hardest thing to do then and after that is win a game in the NCAA tournament. Those are hard-earned wins. And the fact that we've been to 23 straight is just, I just give our guys just so much credit for that, the program so much credit for, all these, that term blue bloods is, to me, it's a dated term. But to see all these great programs over the years that you and I grew up with that haven't been able to do that,
yep,
quite frankly, it just puts us in really, really rarefied air. To me, it's so much harder to do than, make a run and maybe luck out and get to a Final Four once in a while. The ability to stay nationally relevant. And going back to 99, I ended up taking over after that summer, or in that summer after that run. And that was the one thing on my mind was like, okay, we're not going to be a one-hit wonder. How do we stay nationally relevant? And we've been nationally relevant now this entire time. So that's something that we do take a lot of great pride in out here.
Gonzaga head coach Mark Few joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Zags 24-3 entering the WCC tournament later this week in Las Vegas. Well, I know that in 2017, the win against Xavier meant a lot because it was the win that put you in the Final Four. But aside from that, or maybe any other wins that you've had recently late in the bracket, is there one or two victories that you've had in the NCAA tournament that just for you mean a little bit more personally?
I don't know, man. If you pick them out, there's been just some incredible games. There's been some incredible performances. The one against Xavier was, you might say, yeah, that was a big step for us. But actually the game prior to that, you know, I think in order to get to a Final Four or win a national championship, you have those, you know, that one game usually, or that one moment, and it usually involves good fortune. and the less than any game was that for us. I mean, we were – that was back when Huggy was Press Virginia, and yep. I mean, it to play them, it was a war, and that was a war. And we were fortunate, very fortunate. We made a heck of a play at the other end. Actually, Josh Perkins, of all people, probably had the first block of his career on a shot, and we. Took the rebound off that and pitched ahead, and Jordan Matthews hit one of those, you know, the legendary shots, not unlike what Jalen Suggs hit, and Casey Calvary's tip-in against Florida back in the day. Those are the kind of the shots of lore in Gonzaga history. Jordan Matthews hit a corner three that put us up, you know, with less than a minute to go, and that was that.
And if you're going to have moments like this, you know, your friend Jim Boeheim always, you know, says this and tells me this every time I talk to him, that if you're going to be in it long enough, if you're going to have moments like that, there's going to be moments on the other side of this thing. Aside from obviously the two national championship game defeats, are there any other losses that just, you know, sit with you, you know, lingering over the years?
Obviously people still like to bring up that UCLA one. I mean, that just seems so far past that. I don't really remember that well. All the NCAA losses are hard because there's just such a immediacy of
sure.
disappointment of it's over. I mean, you're prepping, you're doing your film, you're getting your guys ready, your game plan, and you're with your guys, you're immersed fully with them all, and then all of a sudden it's over.
Right.
And at a place like this, it's over, and then there's pro decisions, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's coaches within your program leaving decisions, and I mean, that it just flips just like that, and it's just like, wow. I think that is the thing probably that people that aren't in the our business probably don't understand. You know, it's very, very different. You're on top of the world and then it's over.
Yeah, no question.
That takes a while to come back from.
And to be truly, obviously, on top of the world, at least according to some, you know, the goal is obviously to get to that feeling and win a national championship. Did you personally have any different feeling falling just short last year against Baylor versus in 2017 against North Carolina?
It was a different, you know, there was no woulda, shoulda, coulda. I mean, the one with Carolina obviously came down the last possession or two, and they made, you know, they made the most of them, and we didn't. There was a couple really tough calls in there leading up to it. So obviously, you know, those always mess with you a little bit. You know, the Baylor one was like, hey, they handed it to us pretty good. And they played great, and we didn't. And they had a lot to do with that, but, you know, we had a little bit too. So, I mean, I always try to have a good perspective on it. And I, you know, I mean, I have great friends in this profession, and Jay Wright and Billy Donovan happen to be two of them. You know, like they say, you really ask them how much it really changed their lives and this and that. It doesn't make you a different coach. It doesn't make you a different person and all that. You want it just like those guys do and all of us coaches. You want it for your players. You want it for your school. You want it for your fans. You want it for your community and all that. I don't know. I tend to be more of a realist and just kind of move on to the next play.
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up the term perspective, because you've had, you know, a deeper perspective, I think, more than most for a longer period of time. I remember you telling me like 8 years ago, like, look, it's not that big of a deal if we schedule practice around my kid's soccer practice, like the world isn't going to end. But I'm curious, as you have always kind of had that perspective, do you think more of your colleagues have seen the bigger picture after what we've dealt with as, you know, a nation and as a world over the last 2 years with this pandemic?
You know, I get asked about that a lot. I really do. And I think I've come to the point where I think, well, maybe that's one of the things that I can give back to this profession. You know, as you get older, it's not always about just you and about your program. It's okay, how can I, you know, I'm serving on some national committees now and things like that. And I think with a lot of my cohorts and people I work with, work around and end up, you know, working with at USA Basketball and such. And the more longer you're in it, obviously the more people you come in contact with. I think that's something that I've tried to share, really try to share, with it in regards to assistant coaches. You know, there's a tendency in this, the coaching world to just, you know, just paralysis by analysis, right? And I mean, you can watch 50 films on a team, or you can watch, you know, you can also watch three or four and pretty much figure them out and then go home and get time with, you know, with your kids that you're never, ever, ever going to get back again, you know, or keep your relationship, you know, with your wife strong or whatever, friends or church or anything. There's just, It's a hard profession, but it doesn't have to be as hard as some of us make it. And I think there's a lot of professions like that. But there is, because the travel and the recruiting and the game planning and all that, I think some of us, and I think it's good to try to model the behavior that you can do both. You know, you can be successful and you can still be there for your kids. And, you know, that's the number one priority. And at the end of the day is being a dad and being a husband. And then, you know, being a coach is third after that.
And if you're being a coach, you're setting example, obviously, for those who look up to you. And that obviously includes your staff. And, you know, a few of your former assistants here, whether it's Tommy Lloyd at Arizona and Leon Rice at Boise State, especially this season, are having outstanding years. You know, they're both in position to win their respective conferences. How does the pride of seeing that compare to the pride of Gonzaga having great results from a win-loss perspective?
Well, first of all, it's just been awesome this year. It really, truly has, to see Tommy have the type of success that he's having down there. And he has other Gonzaga staff members with him. I mean, yep. He's got Ricky Foy, who was with us. He's just a great young basketball mind. And TJ Benson and Rem Bacchimus was a walk-on here. And then Leon's been slugging away down there at Boise, and he's done a great job. And it's just been great to see them kind of put it all together this year. And then, Dan Munson at Long Beach is having a heck of a year, too. And they're in first place in the Big West. Look like they're primed for an NCAA bid. So that's been awesome to, to follow and cheer. And just feel so good for those guys. And, they put their own little different spins on it, but it's they're an extension, definitely an extension of this family. So you're always rooting for them.
Gonzaga head coach Mark Few joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, Mark, let's talk here about your last game. It was obviously a difficult game against St. Mary's on Saturday. Up until that point, Gonzaga had not had a single-digit game since your last loss, which was against Alabama in December. In hindsight, not that you're happy that you lost, but are you happy that you had a competitive game like that before you begin now the postseason?
You're not obviously happy with the loss. You're not happy with how you played, certainly. There was maybe a couple situations in there that you work on in practice. We work on our late game situations a lot, and to get ready for those situations that might arise down the stretch of a tight game. But I think the biggest thing was just, hey, I mean, in any sport, if you walk in and the other team is clearly more aggressive than you, more assertive than you, I hate using all the sports cliches that everybody uses, wanted it more or whatever. But, the most aggressive team's going to make the plays and usually get the calls and usually end up on the better side of things. And St. Mary's was certainly that team Saturday. And so, it's a lesson we got to, take to heart. Because from here on out, we're not guaranteed – guaranteed one in our conference tournament, and we're only guaranteed one in the NCAA tournament. So you can't go into those things and have somebody, considerably playing harder than you and playing with more purpose and a more assertiveness.
And, Mark, it kind of also tells a story for what, you and I have been talking about now kind of all year long about this WCC renaissance. I mean, we've got four teams firmly in the mix for a bid. San Francisco and BYU obviously might still have some work to do. And then, Santa Clara, who, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, isn't really in that large picture, but they're the third seed in the WCC tournament. As somebody who's kind of the dean of the league, what has it been like for you to see the WCC maybe have a shot to have as many teams in the NCAA tournament as a conference like the ACC?
Yeah, it's a really cool step, and you're happy for the league because I think finally, even the aftermath of this St. Mary's loss for us in the past, it would be like, oh my God, see Gonzaga, they're not what everybody says they are, and blah blah blah. But now I think the reputation is there's a healthy amount of respect for St. Mary's and just the coach that Randy Bennett is and the job that they've done this year. And I think what you're seeing, certainly with St. Mary's, San Francisco, Santa Clara, and BYU, probably not to quite the extent of that, is everybody was worried with the transfer portal and all that and the effects on maybe, some non-high-level teams. But what ends up happening is these teams have numerous fifth- and sixth-year guys now. They're not facing the pro leaving early for the NBA aspect that some of us other programs are. So they're able to accrue all these guys that – our fifth and sixth year guys. And I mean, those are good players, man. You're getting the prime time of those guys' careers. And it's showing, I think, with just how competitive our league has been, not only in conference, but, in the non-league. And they're being rewarded for that. And it's going to be really interesting if all those teams finish strong and, where we're going to end up with just how many teams in.
Well, you and St. Mary's are obviously assured of a spot in the NCAA tournament. Your team obviously has been at the top of the polls now all season long. But, to me, what's ironic, Mark, is, a guy who last year was just so great in the NCAA tournament and came in being viewed as the best player in college basketball, Drew Timmy, has probably been undervalued here over the last two or three months because maybe he's not projected to be as high of a draft pick as some other players, whether they're on your team or not. Why do you think sometimes in our sport there is too much of an emphasis on what a player is for the future rather than appreciating what he is for the present?
That's very easy. It's because all of a sudden there's been a real shift in the last, I don't know, I'd even say like 5 years, to just literally the media. It's so ironic. The media that is following our sport, so they're almost, you know, biting their own hand that's feeding them, begins talking about draft projections and who's going to be the first. I mean, they start talking about this in July.
Right.
And it just seems asinine to me as a college basketball writer. You're writing about that. And then essentially, you know, I'm not going to say it's pushing people out, but it just starts a narrative that is crazy, that just seems that everybody wants to talk about it. And it literally doesn't matter. The only thing that matters in that regard is, you know, where the GMs and the real true decision makers, and now having had, I don't know, 20 plus or coming up on 30, I don't know, I mean, we've had up NBA prospects that have been, went through this whole process and drafted and playing on teams and all that. These things that happen in July and in September and the projections after, you know, the feast week or whatever it is, whether you're in Maui or the Bahamas, everybody's projecting who's first. It's just so silly, but yet it's just covered constantly. And as a guy that has those prospects, you can see it. You know, you can't help but filter in into the players' minds and puts undue pressure on them. And it really doesn't matter, you know. The decisions won't be made on that until late June.
Yeah.
So it's something that it's crazy. I think they obviously think it sells and moves views and all that. But, again, the people that are doing the projecting, they aren't the one that gets the vote.
Right.
The GMs, well, and in some cases the coaches and maybe the owners. It's not based on some silly mock draft that people love to put out.
Well, the things that do matter is obviously getting your team to play its best basketball over the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. For Gonzaga right now, what are the biggest keys heading into the postseason for your team to be, you know, vintage Gonzaga here over the next month?
Yeah, you know, hey, I think tightening up everything. We had some, you know, offensive lapses and did some uncharacteristic things in that St. Mary's game, and then also had some defensive lapses where, you know, so many people talk about our offense, but we've been pretty rock solid on defense here this last 6 weeks or so. And so those need to be cleaned up, you know, and we don't need to be making the type of errors or type of non-scouting report things that we're usually pretty good at. Those things all need to be cleaned up and cleared up. And like I said at the start of this, you want your guys playing with, you know, the maximum amount of belief and confidence that they have. And then, again, just adapting and understanding that, you know, if games are going to be played that physical, then we need to be as physical or the most physical team in the fight.
And, you know, Mark, obviously there's going to be major attention on Timmy. There's tons of attention always on Holmgren. You know, we've always talked all season about how your team reaches a different level when Andrew Nembhard plays like an elite point guard. But I think the guy over the next month that could really open people's eyes is Julian Strother. I mean, maybe because he's playing with so many great players, he's not getting as much attention. But this guy hasn't taken a nibble and gotten better this year from his freshman to sophomore season. He's taken a gargantuan bite. I mean, he's made over 5 times as many threes as he did a year ago. Could he be somebody that emerges as a difference maker here over the next month for Gonzaga?
He already has been a big difference maker, like as you've said, and yeah, he is a real key. And then I also think actually one of the guys, probably one of the only guys who played, you know, up to his level that he'd been playing in that St. Mary's game was Rasir Bolt.
Yep.
And I think both of those guys, you know, are big keys for us moving forward, and they have had really, really good years kind of in the shadow of Drew and Andrew and Chet. And then, you know, lastly, what I'd say is, you know, it's important we keep getting that kind of really good. And when we're at our high end, we've had really good lifts and performances, you know, primarily from the three guys we bring off. And you know, in Anton Watson, Nolan Hickman, and Hunter Salas. That's also a key for us, too, is just, you know, it's almost like bringing in a different pitcher into a game that can kind of change the game. And in our best games, those guys have been able to have that effect, which is something we need also.
You know, Mark, this isn't your first rodeo. You've obviously been to two title games here in the last half decade. And regardless whether you win a national championship or you don't, this ride with this group is only going to last for another 35 days. With that said, I know the goal is always, and it's going to be this way for your program right now, about one thing this time of year. But even though that destination is what you're working toward, how do you do your best over these next 5 weeks to stay present and enjoy the time that you have remaining with this group?
Well, the first thing you got to do is understand you're not guaranteed 35 days or whatever it is at all. You're guaranteed, you know, one. And right. So you have to prepare for that being what it is. And it's a one and done tournament. That's what makes it so crazy and so exciting and so special. But you have to prepare for that. But all the while, again, in the back of your head, at least a coach's head, you know that, hey, we're only going to be together here for, hopefully it is 30 something days, but you know, we need to just savor all the time that we have together and make the most of it. And not in a sentimental way, but just, I certainly, you know, take the time to try to look back and appreciate it. And also that inspires me and motivates me to make this, you know, as special a time and as special a run as you possibly can for these guys, because they're giving it their all.
What do you think is the biggest key here to getting back in that situation again that you've been in here a couple of times, if you had to pinpoint one thing?
I mean, again, for us, it's just play our best. You know, it's crazy. Just play our best basketball. If we can play our best basketball, both sides of the ball, then we should be in good shape, you know, to get where we want to get. But it's you know, that's easier said than done.
You know, it's amazing. You think about it, 23 years ago, Gonzaga's on the map. 23 years later, Gonzaga's still on the map, going to be a one seed. If this all gets made into a movie one day, who plays Mark Few?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Just got done watching 1883. I'm good as Sam Elliott. He's a little old for me, so... But you like that perspective of an old cowboy? I have no idea. That's for somebody else who can, figure out stuff like that.
I was thought he's Kevin Bacon movie, maybe from like the River Wild, because I know you love to fish. But I was like, that's not really the type of character you want to emulate. He was a little bit of a wild character in that movie.
Yeah, you always go there. I mean, it's more, you know, I don't know. There's been other fly fishing movies that are probably more appropriate than that one.
Fair enough. We're going off the cuff here, but we know how busy you are, Mark. We know you got a lot going on as you're getting ready for the postseason. We appreciate a couple minutes, and as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Yeah, always great talking with you, John.
We'd like to thank Gonzaga head coach Mark Few for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular
other podcast platforms. And check out collegehoopstoday.com for breaking news, podcast archives, stories, and analysis on the greatest sport that we have on our globe. And also, when you check us out and you hit us up on these platforms, subscribe, like, and rate the show. It makes a difference. And now time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from my buddy, Britton Johnson Burner. And it's, John, seems like Alabama's first game with all four guards firing all cylinders. Are they hitting their stride at the right time? Well, Britton Johnson Burner, I got to tell you this. Alabama is like alternate side parking in New York City. It feels like it's every third day. We have seen the Crimson Tide play great basketball this year. They've beaten Baylor. They've beaten Houston. They've beaten Gonzaga and Seattle. But they also look sometimes like an inconsistent team. It's going to be really interesting to see where the Crimson Tide are seated on Selection Sunday. Our next question comes from Jared Dittmerns. John, do you feel like Wisconsin is underrated heading into March? They're in sole possession of first place in the Big Ten. Well, Jared, you know, I wrote about this, and I'm writing about this week. Wisconsin, in a lot of ways, is one of the surprise teams in the country because it's not like this team had a disappointing year last year. They went to the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament and lost to Baylor and lost four starters from that team. Wisconsin's a team that I don't think a lot of people are going to pick to go to the Final Four, but it wouldn't shock me considering they have the best guard in the sport and a guy that's right there for National Player of the Year in Johnny Davis if Wisconsin wound up deep in the NCAA tournament and a real factor in the second weekend. And then our final question is going to be from Nate Oates Burner, and it's, John, what does Alabama need to do to win the SEC tournament? And look, I think the SEC tournament this year could have a number of different teams win it. I still think Kentucky is the best team. Auburn needs to rectify some things in their backcourt, but Alabama, with its firepower of Quinterly, Shackelford, Ellis, Davison, they are never out of any game. Now, again, that doesn't mean they're going to be able to win every game they play, but they're never out of any game. And in a situation like we have this year, where we have complete craziness, just like we talked about earlier in the show on Saturday, where all six teams in the AP Top 25 lost, a team like Alabama has the requisites and the personnel to go on a deep, deep run in the NCAA tournament. Fascinating team to watch here the final couple of weeks of the regular season and obviously into the SEC tournament. Now, let's get to some nuggets. And 5 Good Nuggets this week is being brought to you by Geico. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? Geico can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and start seeing how much you could save. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
5 Good Nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5. But you were close.
Nugget number one, a Friar Power. Providence is set to earn its highest NCAA tournament seed ever. The highest that Providence has ever been on Selection Sunday, a 5 on 2004. Nugget number two, feeling green. Auburn's Wendell Green is averaging just 9 points over his last 4 games while shooting 21% from the field and 24 from 3. Nugget number three, going with the flow. Baylor's Flo Thamba is making the most out of his extended minutes following Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua's season-ending knee injury. The veteran big man in his last 4 games is averaging just under 11 points, just over 8 rebounds. Nugget number four, BYU's big stretch. Now, it's hard to see BYU being on the right side of the bubble on Selection Sunday if it doesn't beat San Francisco in the quarterfinals of the WCC tournament. BYU will first have to beat Loyola Marymount or Pacific on Friday. BYU and San Francisco split 2 meetings this season. And then nugget number 5, Fordham fighting. My opinion, Fordham's Kyle Neptune should be the Atlantic 10 Coach of the Year. The Rams have lost their 2 top scorers this season, Antonio Day and Darius Quisenberry, and have remained competitive. Fordham is usurping expectations. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch.
Games to watch. Some big ones here on Tuesday. Purdue is at Wisconsin. Providence travels to Villanova. Arizona travels to USC. We also have another game between Michigan and Michigan State in Ann Arbor. And then Wednesday night, LSU is at Arkansas. We'd like to thank Gonzaga head coach Mark Few for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.